Ben is on a spiritual plane and Dale is in high school. All right. He's keeping it on his side of the church right there. Okay. All right, so Kevin put down three statements. He kind of went biblical on us. So he said, there's three things here, and out of these three things, one is not true. All right, so here's your statements. Sin addicts. The Bible contains the Word of God. God causes people to prosperity. Sin addicts. The Bible contains the Word of God, and God causes people to prosperity. Which one is the lie? The last one. God causes people to prosperity. That is not the true statement, is it? A lot of people try to push that and say, once you come to God, then everything is going to flow as smoothly as can be. But honestly, what we heard this morning, we got an enemy that's powerful. And that's why you need the armor of God, right? Because it's not. There's someone that's trying to attack every bit of your life and try to keep you from the things of God. So that's good. So when we play a little thing like that, when we throw out a couple statements, so when you think about it, if these two guys here walked around and they sometimes were to spit out an untruth, you'd begin not to trust even the things that they said that were true, wouldn't you? So when you think about God and you think about His Word, if you were to take Genesis 1 and 2, and you were to say, oh, it's just an allegory, or you were to say it's just, you know, it's not the whole truth, then how can you trust the rest of God's Word? Because a lot of people take Genesis 1 and 2 and say, oh, well, God used evolution to create the world. Or they just say that it's an allegory, or it's just not the truth. But if you take away Genesis 1 and 2, can you really trust the rest of the Scripture? Is the question. And that's why we kind of wanted you to think about that little, how we started with that little game, and keep that in kind of in the back of your mind as we work through today. So we've kind of covered four different lessons, and we're all in the church. Every Sunday school class is doing the same lessons right now, so we've covered four of them. And Dale, you must have been praying hard, because this morning's message was about forgetfulness at the beginning. When he mentioned that word, I just looked down where my stuff was, and realized that I forgot my notebook. And in my notebook has my quiz that I promised Dale for this week. And then he said that this morning, I just like, oh my goodness. He's preaching directly to me and said, the forgetfulness, there's certain things that we must remember. And I was like, oh man, I forgot it. So I try to, you know, I had like as many, many quiz that I'm trying to bring back. You're right. So to keep that from happening, I tried to write a mini quiz right before. It won't be as strong as the other quiz, Dale, but honestly, it's just kind of to keep our memory going. So this whole lesson is called Avoiding the Confusion. And you think about this world today, there's a lot of things that are out there that is confusing. You think about what we heard this morning, even the attacks of Satan. And there's some things that we just need to come back to the basics on and make sure that we're grounded. And then as we work our way through these lessons, we'll start getting into some of the social issues of today as well. But building the base to get to those points is kind of what we've been working through as a church. So the first thing is just to kind of remember back to I'm going to go way back. So you have to put your thinking caps on with hopefully had a coffee before you walked in. So what's a cornerstone and why is it important? What's a cornerstone and why is it important? Yeah. Everything that you build has to be right with that cornerstone. It is the foundational piece. So for us as Christians, what is the cornerstone of our lives? Jesus Christ. He is what this whole Bible is about. He is who we build our life upon. And He's the rock. And a wise man builds his house upon the rock, which is Christ. So we kind of started with that very basic cornerstone. Then we talked about the existence of God. So I'm going to read a statement, and I'm going to see if you can pull out a term for me. Now, this is tough because it is a term, but we'll see how it goes. So here's the statement. We talked about the existence of God, and we said, God has shown himself to every person through an inward revelation that testifies to his existence. Ooh, innate. I mean, I was a little worried that we wouldn't get to that one. So that's fantastic. Innate. So everybody that's ever been born, there's something in them that says there is a God. And that should encourage us when we are witnessing to people, when we talk to people, is that at some point God has revealed into that heart that there is a God. And that should encourage us as we speak to them. Because you think about all the young people today that are growing up agnostic and atheistic, and the people that you're going to bump shoulders with. So it's super important to realize that God has revealed himself. Then we talked about reliability of the Bible. So I'm going to throw an essay question at you. I expect Dale to definitely get in on this one. So we said the Bible is reliable, and it's durable, and it's profitable. Can you share with me some examples of that? Tell me how the Bible is reliable, profitable, durable. We'll take about 2 or 3 minutes just to bat that about. The Bible is those three things.
Reliable, we've seen that demonstrated by fulfilled prophecy.
Yes. You think about all the prophecies that are in the Scripture, and every one of them is nailed down to the T. We just talked about the ones with Jesus Christ and how many prophecies were just about him, and the mathematical statistic that said, you know, it's impossible for him not to be who he said he was. That's absolutely truth. Yes, sir.
Also the fact that accuracy, like historical archaeology,
yeah.
Science.
Absolutely. When the Bible speaks to history, it is absolutely 100% correct. When the Bible speaks to science, it is absolutely 100% correct. It's not a science book, nor is it a history book, but when it speaks to those subjects, it is perfect and spot on, absolutely. Did you have your hand up, Don? Okay, mentioned the science part of it. So we've talked about the prophecies. We talk about how it's historically and scientifically reliable. One of them was profitable, and one of them was reliable and then durable. So we've kind of covered maybe two of those, but how's it profitable? Yes, sir, Dale. He was answering a minute ago, so. Oh, you mean what you just said? Oh, the Bible.
Any of our answers.
Okay. The Bible is, we renew our minds with it, and that's kind of what Dale was getting at there. Anything else? It's profitable for doctrine, reproof,
correction,
instruction, and righteousness. Every area of our life, the Bible speaks to, and it is profitable. I saw your hand kind of come out there, Kevin. Yes, absolutely.
This
yes, sir.
Chad was talking about this morning. Not only to get rid of the negative, the correction, but to replace, we have the instruction in righteousness.
Yeah, that's right. And put the positive in. Good. Dale's absolutely right. You can get rid of the wrong, but God also puts something positive and right in its place. That's good. Right.
It's going to take time to
flush
it out.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And that's a messy process. Pastor was reminding us about the new believers. Sometimes we don't like to think about the process of getting rid of the old.
Right.
It's messy.
It is. Yes, sir. But that's the Holy Spirit of God that begins to work and to guide. That's good. All right, and then we talked about the deity of Christ last week, and we talked about he's been eternal. He's eternal. There's no one ever created him. He's the Word that spoke the world into existence. He's our sacrifice. We talked about substitutionary atonement. He took our place and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And then we talked about there's a reunion coming someday, and we kind of briefly hit on that. We talked about he's our hope, and that he is coming back in the clouds to take us. And the rapture, we talked about that word. And then one day he will come back to this earth to rule and to reign. But one question that and this is kind of an essay as well, and it'll be our last little essay before we jump in today's lesson. But if you had an event coming up, if you had something that's significant, how's your life impacted when you're looking forward to something that's significant? What impacts your life when you're looking forward to something? How can that affect you? All right, Brother Les. Okay. You're playing for it. Kevin?
And you adjust your life according to that plan.
Yeah.
And you feel a sense of peace.
Yeah.
You feel a sense of purpose.
Right. You feel a sense of purpose. You kind of plan, you know, this thing is coming. I know Alyssa was getting ready to go to the, she's at the beach, but her whole week, and I heard about it every day. Hey, Dad, I'm 4 days away, and I'm going to the beach. 3 days away, I'm going to, hey, you know what, on this Saturday, I'm going to be eating shrimp at our favorite place. And she was looking forward to it. Yes, sir.
So it makes you wonder, was she telling you because she was excited or because she was rubbing it in?
Both. There's no doubt about it, yeah. But I watched the literal excitement in her. Like, I mean, you could see it, and then just ratcheted up as the day came. And whenever the day came, you know what? Mama went in to wake her up. You know how long it took her to get up? Now, on a Sunday morning, normally, I have to go in, Lisa, wake up. Now, come on. And I sing her a little. And I'm a terrible singer. But I sing her a song. I make up a song and finally get her out of the bed. But it's kind of fun for me to do that anyway. But, yeah, it didn't have to happen that day. She's looking forward to anticipating it. So when we think about Christ's return, what might remembering Christ's return, how will that positively impact our lives?
Should dominate our thoughts.
Amen. Should dominate our thoughts.
Therefore change our behavior.
Yes, to Kevin's point. Because you're thinking about that, then it makes you change your behavior accordingly. That's great. That's good. So I want to just encourage you looking for that blessed hope as you go through this week and we see the things going on around us in this world. There's a promise. He's kept every promise he's ever made, and he will keep this promise as well. So be encouraged in the fact that he's coming again for us. And we talked about his deity. So that's the four lessons that we've covered through. And now we're kind of into lesson five, which is the biblical account of creation. So you think about the world we live in, and it absolutely is a powerful testimony to our amazing creator. But Satan attacks it, doesn't he? He attacks everything about that. And you think about the foundation piece that Genesis 1 and 2 brings us, and the fact that the devil completely attacks that thing. Brother Dave, we're going to go ahead and kind of jump to the next slide. I think you'll get your first point, outline point here, once we get past this one, and it'll be... I'm ahead of the outline point. It's going to be the testimony of the Creator, but that's where I do want to be. So on the screen right now, you got a statistic, a poll that was taken. It was a Gallup poll. And back in the year 2007, so you have the United States, and you see that 50% of it is shaded in. So in 2007, they did a poll just with Americans, and they said, are you familiar with creationism? When I say creationism, you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying, what I'm talking about? If I said creationism, God created. Genesis, God created. So 50% of Americans said, yeah, I'm familiar. I'm very familiar with that God created. And that was the year 2007. All right, next slide, Brother Dave. 7 years later, 2014, same poll, 38%. Now you see a little bit of different shade on the United States. 38% of Americans would say they're very, very familiar with creationism. We could add seven more years, and I don't have the answer to that because I don't know what that poll would be today. Yes, sir?
I don't think it's by mistake. I don't know for sure, but I really like the metaphor of the color.
Yeah. Yeah, the light and the dark. And absolutely. I'm glad you pointed that. On the shading of the United States, as they shaded in people who were not familiar with creationism, it's showing the 38% kind of light and then 38% in the dark. Then the rest, the 60% in the dark. Sorry, I messed the math up there. But 38% in the light and the rest in the dark. And if we added that 7 years today and did the same poll, what would it look like now? It's the question that we have to ask ourselves. So you see that what we heard this morning from Chad, and he talked about the power of Satan. This is one of the things that he is absolutely attacking. I don't know, when I was a kid, I was able to go to a Christian school. I remember sitting down in kindergarten, and my teacher had these little, I can even see, remember the color of these little cards, but they were catechisms, and they would ask questions like, who created God? And they'd have you trained with this answer that no one created God. God has always been. And man, they would go through these things about creation from the very early age. And I still remember those things to this day. But let's think about all the kids in the United States who have not heard that. And that actually, that idea of creationism is not taught at all.
And I was talking earlier about replacing negative with positive in the inverse.
Yeah.
The kids are not only not being taught about creationism, but their flashcards are different.
Their flashcards are absolutely different. And here's that sad thing about the flashcards, Dale. And this is one of the points that I think we need to take out of this, is they teach evolution as absolute fact. They call it science. But in reality, it is not science. It's religion. So what we have here are really two religions. We have creationism and we have evolution. That's a religion, because there is no scientist that was there when this world was created. Yes, sir, Les. That's the absolute attack that's coming out. When you think about it, that's what every kid is coming out listening to. Hey, this is just a fact. This is their fact is, oh yeah, this just happened as a random chance. And there is no counter to that. Like Dale said, putting the positive in its place and says, all right, let's talk about this. Let's talk about even, and one of the points in this book was to say, you ever heard people call it intelligent design? Not necessarily taking the rest of the Bible, but just saying that if you look at everything, you have to reason that something created this out of, and this orderliness, so orderly as opposed to evolution. But many of the courts have shot down even that as a counter to evolution because it's too close to creationism. And that's a sad state that we're in. And that's one of the attacks that we're finding. But I think one of the things that we keep in mind, that we want to keep in mind is as I was thinking about this, a while back we went to the Creation Museum. I don't know if you guys have been there, but Dr. Ken Ham, Creation Museum's really first class, nice place to go if you ever want to go through and take a look. But advocates for creationism, six literal day creation, which I believe in. The Bible teaches that, and I think if you undermine that, you open up a can of worms for yourself, because how can you trust the rest of the Bible if you can't trust the first few pages in Genesis? So one of the things that he points out, and I think this is important as we kind of walk through this, I want to share this with you, is the end results or the fruit of this thing. So just take a listen to this. So this is by Dr. Ken Ham. He says, the reader needs to be aware that when we discuss creation and evolution, in both instances, we're talking about beliefs, that is religion. The controversy is not religion versus science, as the evolutionists try to make out. It's religion versus religion, and the science of one's religion versus the science of the other. Evolution is a religious position that makes human opinion supreme. As we shall see, its fruits, because of rejection of the Creator and Lawgiver, are, here's the fruits of evolution, lawlessness, immorality, impurity, abortion, racism, and a mocking of God. Creation is a religious position based on the Word of God, and its fruits through God's Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The creation slash evolution issue, is God creator, is the crux of the problem in our society today. It is the fundamental issue with which Christians must come to grips. The creation slash evolution issue is where the battle really rages. And you think about that, what he's saying, and the fruits of what we are getting because of the evolution that's being taught, we see it today in the social issues around us. Yes, sir.
And I know this is old, common reference, but I think it's illustrative of what you just talked about. Even with intelligent design and repackaging.
Right.
So, for instance, my Schofield Bible talks about fossil record as existence that God destroyed and then recreated in the Genesis account.
Right.
Well, the fact is, the Bible teaches us that before sin, there was no death.
Yes.
So there can't be fossil records because that indicates death.
Right.
Until
right.
Sin came into the world.
Yep.
So here's a famed theologian accommodating evolution.
Yeah. Right. And what you call a gap is where you're,
in
yeah.
But the fact is, despite his good work, he was wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, intelligent design for what it's trying to say.
Yeah.
God is intelligent, but it's still wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's not, this is what God said.
Right.
And
yeah.
We just need to recognize these subtle errors and be real careful.
Yes. And what you're coming to is, where do you get your authority from?
Yes.
Your authority either comes from a man's opinion. Or you recognize this as the Word of God, and God is infallible and inerrant, and you say, okay, this is God's Word. So you're going back to, where is, what are you choosing to believe, your choice to believe, man or God? And when you follow man, we know that doesn't work. Yes, sir, Brother Dale.
One of the ways Satan confuses is that both sides, creationism and evolution, use the term science.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same. It's not the same facts in quotes, as Kevin would say. I don't know how you do your quote thing. It's not the same facts as we see in the Bible.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
But that's say, the world uses the same terms we do sometimes. It makes more confusion.
I saw a pastor stand in. I'll get you, Brother Don.
I'm just going to say that you properly identified evolutionism as a religion. And as a consequence, our government educational system is establishing religion.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Anti-constitution.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Good point. Brother Don, I saw your hand up. Yeah, that's one of the things that I wanted to kind of bring out. A six-day literal creation is one of the most attacked doctrines of the Bible. It is absolutely flat-out attacked. And what I'm saying, too, from the very get-go, is that when you attack page 1, 2, 3 of the Bible and you don't believe that, then how can you say the rest is credible? And when you talk about Christ and substitutionary atonement and his deity, if God were telling you two truths and one lie, would you really trust the two truths that he were giving you? So it comes down to, do you have faith that God is who he said he was and that he did this? And everything around you shows an order in this universe. Yes, is it marred? Yes, because of sin. Is there death? Yes, because of sin. But God created this world. We chose to rebel against him, right? And we have the consequences that come from it. Or do you believe that everything that is here just happened to randomly come? Where do you get your authority from? All right. Yes, sir, Brother Don.
In one context, the Bible says that God created the world in 6 days, everything in 6 days.
Yes.
He worked 6 days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So many days
a year, yeah, you're never going to get to the weekend. That's a very good point, Don. We'll go wear out before that happens. I think some companies might want you to be there 6 days, though. That's right, yeah. Absolutely. Good. That's a kind of funny way to look at that. Okay.
It was God's making 6 days, making the earth 6 days, because the way I was taught, God grew up.
Right.
Like I said, this connection never, it just happened to be the one that, like, wait a minute. How does this work?
Wow. Wow. So you're just, what we were just talking about, you are a person who experienced exactly what we just talked about. How in school, this is what's being told, and it is told as a fact. it is a science, and they use the word science, and don't question it, like Les said, or, you know, you're going to get in trouble or made to come home and be upset because you believe in a God. And we think about the devil's attack on that, on those first few pages in Genesis, and how much that's impacted us. And like Pastor said, that we're going to, how it influences our government, and how it's almost now force-fed, and even it is literally a religion, but they call it a science, and they're force-feeding it upon us.
And the sprouting of confusion in a six-year-old's mind.
Yeah, yeah.
It's dangerous, because what's he going to think when he's 16 and 26?
Right, right. And all those, all the fruits that we just read that you, Dr. Hamm pointed out in his book, look around us today, and you see those things prevalent. And that's a, that is a sad thing when you think about, when you think about it. It all just happened at random. Yeah, where do you draw your anchor from, right? Yes, sir.
And the weird thing is, with, you know, the evolutionary theory creating the schizophrenic bipolar social construct, Putin's right if evolution is true. Because
yes.
He's just acting out.
Survive. Yeah, he's
on the essentials of evolution.
Yeah, right. You're right.
And we've got no business.
Yes.
The foundation, is the
yes. Absolutely.
We have no business resisting him or,
mm.
You know,
yeah, right.
Because, hey, you know,
it's easy to
there's no purpose. There's, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easy to hate and it's easy to dismiss because we don't like what he's doing. But under there, there's still a real soul.
Yeah.
You know,
and
in a way, I'm not justifying what he's doing or any men like him, but he's only doing what he's been programmed to do,
right?
Yeah. And the, but the interesting thing, too, is at one point in that man's life, that innate revelation of God said there is a God. So he's without excuse, as Romans says. And as you look around you, and that's something we'll get into next week, how the world itself testifies to the Creator. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But, yes, he has been conditioned in that way, and he is acting out that those things. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well,
yes, sir.
That's one thing I've thought about over the last few years. It's easy to pray about our leaders, but we need to be praying for them.
Yeah, that's right. Good. Good. All right. Brother Dave, I'm going to move on to the next one. So if you have your sheet, I think this will be to where you actually have your first word to put in, the testimony of the, and then your word is the Creator himself. We know that the one thing that creationism and evolution have in common is that nobody, no human was there in the beginning, right? So that's the one thing they both have in common. But the Bible that we've been talking about, that's durable, that's profitable, that's inerrant, that we've kind of gone through, has said God was present because God created it, right? That means that God was here before all of this, which means that he is pre-existent, or he's the self-existent one. And that's something we always have to, I think, keep in mind, that no one created God. He was here to create all of this. And so one of the things that we want to say is he is the Creator God. He was eternal God. We know that Jesus Christ was the Word that spoke the world into existence. But I want you to think about his revelation. I think that's the next slide that we'll see there. The Bible says in Job 38, 4 and 5, "Where were thou, or where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched out the line upon it?" There's no human being that was there. God created it. God created everything. Psalms 104, verse 5 says, "Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed?" And so those are a couple verses that you have there that show that he is the eternal one. His revelation, Hebrews 11, verse 3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the," what? "Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." It always comes back to his word. Where are you getting your authority from? Do you base your authority on God and his word, or are you going to believe the opinion of man, which these opinions contradict each other if you take a look at them, because they're just guessing. They weren't there. So Hebrews 11:3, we see that it's by faith and it's in the Word of God. And then we see God revealing himself. It's called divine revelation. I have a quote for you here. It's kind of defines what divine revelation is. It says, Henry Thiessen said this, "The act of God whereby he discloses himself or communicates truth to the mind, whereby he makes manifest to his creatures, which could not be known in any other way." So God is revealing himself. He's revealing himself in creation. He's revealing himself through his word. I want you to think about this for a second. How did God create the world? Did he go out and have materials already there? No. How did he create the world? Spoke it. Spoke it into existence, out of nothing.
If he had the materials, he would be an assembler.
He would be an assembler. That's absolutely right. He spoke this out of nothing. He created everything with the word of his power. He's the self-existent one. He created out of nothing. There's a Latin phrase for that. Anybody a scholar here? I asked my son. He's taking Latin. How do you say this?
Ex nihilo.
Ex nihilo. Okay, great. Because
then
we said, yeah, we just said defer because I didn't want to say it in front of you guys and mess it up. But my son, to his credit, said, "Dad, I have no idea." At least he's honest. He is trying to study some Latin, but he.
I don't know if I pronounce it right.
I'm going to say it's right because you said it's right. Works for me, and no one else in here will know any different, right? Oh, yeah. There you go, Dale. Got something now to still aspire to there. But he created absolutely, there was nothing he had created out of nothing. That shows his power, doesn't it? Psalms 33:9 says, "For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Out of his power, and just with the word. And I was thinking this morning about the word of God, and we talked about how powerful it is and how it speaks to our life. We come here every week. Why? Because we want to hear from that word. Because it is alive, because it is powerful. And God spoke, and the power came through the words that he spoke. And then we'll take a look at the evolution side of that coin, though. So God was pre-existent. He's a self-existent one. He created this earth out of nothing. So an evolutionist is going to say, how did all this stuff happen? It happened randomly, right, out of chance. And what are they going to put their stock in? Matter and energy. That's what they're going to say. But, I mean, at the end of the day, how does all this just come together and make what we see today? So when you boil it down to it, the evolutionists say, okay, it's a random chance. But as we go back to the scripture, we see consistency because evolution's theories all contradict one another, right? I see your hand there, Kev.
You know, Mount Lemmy, you're both eternal existent. That's the
argument. Yes. Something, yeah,
you know,
right.
And as much as it hurts my head to think, okay, God is eternal, so much more for any kind of evolutionary theory.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that because you just segued right to where we want to kind of end this out with a couple of quotes that say pretty much exactly what you're saying. So you're actually just, you could have written this section of the book, no doubt. But here, as we come to it, there is... two verses I want to read, and then I'll share those quotes with you, and we'll be done. Isaiah 43:10 says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he." And here's what we need to see. "Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Psalms 90:2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting thou art God." And here's to Kevin's point. Frankly, it takes more faith to believe the uncaused cause that brought everything into existence is matter and an energy that one day exploded, bringing the universe and all that's in it into existence, than it takes to believe that an omniscient, omnipotent, eternal being, God, created it all. I believe it takes more faith to believe in random chance than it does to believe that there is a creator who was omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful, spoke the world into existence. Walter Bradley said, "I think people who believe that life emerged naturalistically need to have a great deal more faith than people who reasonably infer that there's an intelligent designer." Jonathan Wells said, "Darwinism is merely materialistic philosophy masquerading as science, and people are recognizing it for what it is."
Yeah.
As we sit here today, we realize that there are these two ideas, and they're both religions. They're not, one's not science and the other one is religion. We have two religions that are there. And what do you put your stock in? Where do you put your faith in? Peter put it this way, and I think that's actually on your sheet probably early on, but I want to share it with you because this is kind of the crux of the issue. 2 Peter 3:5 says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Peter says they are willingly ignorant of. They know. They choose not to know. And when you choose not to know, then you open yourself up to believe a lot of things that when you flat out look at it seems silly and ridiculous, doesn't it? But they willingly reject God's word. So where's your faith in? What God said happened or what a man said happened? And that's the crux of the question that has to be answered. All right, appreciate you guys being here today. It is now time to get some coffee, some food, some grub. So we'll pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word.